You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller, and today we are joined by Nigel Bainan, who is the author of a new book called Dig Deeper, Tools for Understanding God's Word. As we want to understand the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that gives us power and understanding of who God is, it's important that we have the right tools when we come into our study. So, Nigel, it's a great privilege to have you on the broadcast with us. Thank you for joining the many voices for that one message.
Thank you for having me.
Why don't you get us started by telling us a little bit about your background and what drove you to write this book?
Well, I was a church leader, church pastor, and I was working primarily with students, people, undergraduates in London, with my colleague Andrew, who I wrote the book with. We were focused on teaching students about Christianity, teaching them from the Bible. And in time, that involved helping them understand the Bible for themselves and possibly lead Bible studies or give talks from the Bible themselves, so to understand it and teach it to others. And that was the background that led to the idea of writing a book, which was really very much an introduction to how to go about understanding the Bible for yourself. And it's aimed to be a sort of accessible, a kind of first base starting point that anyone could pick up and get some hints and tips on how to read the Bible for themselves.
You know, the Bible is written simply. It's meant for us to be understood, but there are a lot of different genres of Scripture. There's a lot of different books. 66 different books means there's a lot of different styles that can cause people to miscommunicate certain passages. But this is usually something you learn in seminary. You go to a full seminary to really learn all of these skills. What was your purpose then in making it so accessible to just about everyone?
I suppose it comes from a belief that the doctrine would be called the perspicuity of Scripture, that Scripture is clear and any Christian can understand it. It's certainly got harder bits and more difficult bits and a variety of views. But I guess the starting point was believing anyone could understand Scripture for themselves, and then wanting to give them some hints on how to do that. And obviously at seminary, you can go further in that and you can go into more depth. But we wanted something which, as I say, any Christian could pick up and sort of have a go. They wouldn't make them an expert, but it would be, it would get them started. And I think, you know, if you read the book, I hope you get that sort of impression. You get a sense of, I don't always understand everything, but I can do this. I understand this passage better, and there's various exercises in the book to do and things you can try out.
I think it's that first step of really starting to see things come alive and open up and to have that understanding of what the Bible says, that if you just had these tools, it would certainly drive you as an individual to want to go deeper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's right. This can get you started. There are then other books you could try, more research you can do, but this would be a little guidance. And it uses this idea of tools. Some people might not like that idea if they don't like DIY or car maintenance. Might be put off by tools, but the idea is that it's a simple analogy of various tools you can put to use on a passage, which would help you begin to understand it.
I think this is a really key step in the church, because for most of the time here, even in my upbringing and our time in the current kind of Christian marketing period, a lot of the tools for preaching or for teaching or for understanding or going deeper in the Word were kind of reserved for seminary, and they weren't disseminated down to the average person. And that created a pretty big rift, I would say, between those who were teaching it and those who were receiving it. Would you say that's probably a good assessment?
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, obviously, it would vary in different countries and cultures and subcultures and that kind of thing. I think the church I was involved in had a great emphasis on small group Bible study, and therefore actually it needed a lot of people to lead those small group Bible studies. And so there was a lot of effort went into training people to be able to lead those, and part of that was understanding the Bible for themselves. So they'd have training weekends every year and training evenings and that kind of thing. So I think in that culture there was quite a strong emphasis on this isn't just for the person in the pulpit, this is for everybody. But elsewhere, yes, certainly the pastor, the church leader might be the expert, the seminary professor, etc., and others can't aren't at the same level. I mean, it takes us back to when the Bible was still in Latin and the general populace couldn't read it and it was reserved only for the priest and that kind of thing, and the Reformation bringing about part of it being the translation of scripture into the vernacular so that everybody had access to God's word, and part of that was driven by the idea that everyone could understand it for themselves.
It goes back to the old adage, you give a person a fish, they'll have one meal, but if you teach them to fish, they'll be able to provide for themselves for the rest of their life. Why is that something that's so common in our vernacular, but it's not something that is often easily practiced in the average church, where we're teaching people how to go deeper for themselves as opposed to just preparing them a meal on Sunday morning?
Well, good question. I think it's harder work to learn to fish rather than eat a meal. Certainly. And there's an emphasis, there's an importance that on Sunday morning you want to be fed, you want to be taught and be encouraged and know Jesus better and be moved on as a Christian. The more time you spend on how you understand the Bible and how you get good food from it, the less time you'll spend eating. So I think there's a balance here, and we don't want Sunday mornings to turn into simply training sessions on how you might understand the Bible one day. We want people to understand it now, today, and be fed from it. But alongside that, there should be certainly a place for understanding for yourself, and the preacher can do that on a Sunday morning and sometimes take a few minutes of the sermon to say, this is why I think it means this, and they explain their working, if you like, rather than just giving the results of their working. I think it doesn't happen that much because it takes a bit of hard work, sometimes with good reason because we need to be fed, but there's definitely a place for it.
I want to talk a little bit about some of the tools that you have here in your book. These are the tools for understanding God's Word. There are tools that we'll all recognize, understanding things in their context, understanding things as they are in the language that they exist. But can you tell us a little bit about how you structured and what you were using as sort of the guideline to build these tools?
Well, I've got to say it was quite an organic sort of process. It was thinking about, in the context of doing a lot of Bible study and talking with Christians about the Bible, what seemed to be the most useful thing? What did we do a lot of? And what could we also identify? I mean, in the introduction to the book, we say reading the Bible or understanding the Bible is a mixture of a science and an art. It's a science in the sense that there are things you can say, you can teach, you can explain. There are theories, there are rules, if you like. There are things to follow. But if that's all you said, then you get the impression that understanding the Bible would be you'd apply these five rules and turn the handle and out would pop the answer. But it's not like that. It's not as mechanical as that. And that's because it's also an art, and an art is something you learn. You learn by doing, and you learn by having a go, and there's some intuition, and there's sort of a sense of it, and you pick it up from others, and that kind of thing. And that's why we called them tools rather than rules, because they're hints, but they're not absolutes. And how you go about practicing them will take a bit of practice. How you use them. Sometimes you don't need every tool. Well, nearly always you don't need every tool. Sometimes, it's like a piece of DIY. You might say, I've got a hammer, a chisel, and a pair of pliers. I don't need all of them. And sometimes the order in which I use them is important. But I've got to do something with the pliers before I hit it with a hammer, otherwise it won't work. And some of the tools that in the book are like that. You need to sometimes think about narrator's comment tool, where the narrator is saying things, and then think about the purpose tool, and it only makes sense that way around. So I think in terms of how we structured it, it was identifying things which were concrete, and we could say, here's a tool, here's a thing you can use, but at the same time, trying to keep it flexible enough to say, this is not an absolute rule, and you don't need all of them, and you need a bit of a sense of how to go about using it.
When people think about tools, they're probably thinking about concordances, language parsing guides, language translation guides. They're thinking about concordances, commentaries. They're thinking about study tools in those regards. What is the difference between the tools that you're teaching, and do they depend upon those sort of tools?
Well, good question. The sort of concordance type thing, yeah, that's useful in a certain way. We're probably... how can I put it? These tools are probably, have got a slightly bigger picture in mind. They're asking questions, trying to answer the question, what does this passage mean? Part of the answer to that might be, well, what language does the person keep repeating? Or how have they structured this passage? And as you answer some of those questions, you might then say, oh, actually, where else does the author use that language? And then you might say, oh, now I need a concordance. I need to look something up. And you get to some of the slightly more detailed tools or sources of information. What tense is that verb? We have something called the translation tool, which really says at a general level, be aware that translations differ a bit, and some are more accurate and some are more readable, and they're all trading off between those two things. You might compare translations, discover a verb varies between them, and then say, now I need to know some Greek because I want to know what tense this verb was originally in or something. And so you're diving more deeply into some slightly more higher level tools. But ours is slightly more, we're a step back from that, I think, in a slightly more big picture.
You know, a lot of those tools now are made accessible through the internet in a way that even any layperson can use. But along with the internet has come another kind of burr, I guess you would say, in the sense that a lot of people are depending on people who are writing views on different passages, as opposed to going deeper and asking those tough questions for themselves, going through that work on their own. It seems accessible to get somebody else's opinion about what the text says that kind of matches with our presupposition, as opposed to doing some of this legwork. What kind of advice do you have with people who are looking for the truth, but they're kind of looking in the wrong places?
Yeah, good question. Yeah, I think I'd echo your first point that the internet gives a lot of these tools, and you know, something like Bible Gateway or something, if you want to look stuff up, different translations or whatever it is, it makes all that very accessible. But yeah, there are many answers out there as well. I'd encourage us not to be lazy. It's a mixture of benefiting from the teachers God's given us, so God has gifted the church and he's given us teachers, and we should benefit from those people. But at the same time, what I mentioned earlier, scripture is clear and we should be able to understand it for ourselves. So we've got to hold those two things together, and get benefit from teachers, but make sure we're being taught the truth. So I'd encourage people to, if you think of hearing scripture as being fed, you want to be fed good food and healthy food, which is, in other words, what's correct and true and helpful. And some people are, you could imagine, are serving up bad food, it's wrong, and it's dangerous. So if you have that sort of picture in mind, and you could be saying to yourself, well, this food looks quite tasty, but is it right? And that should encourage me to want to understand the Bible for myself, so I can be, just be assured it is right, or possibly decide it isn't, and it's not good for me.
One of the things that I really love about our radio ministry is that we bring in so many different voices, just like yourself. You're part of the many voices that are communicating that one message that drives us into the Word of God. And there are a lot of really great resources out there, just as you mentioned. But I think that your book does something that will help people to kind of weed through all of the variety of voices to get to the ones that are communicating the gospel, communicating the truth of Scripture, because they give the tools that they can use then to measure all of the other voices against.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think the another little picture is, I think as people, as we're taught the Bible by others, we ought to have a sense, or I'd love people to have a sense of, we're looking at the passage, the person is standing at the front or listening to them on the radio or whatever it is, and they're explaining what the passage means. And we should be able to look down at the passage, hear what they're saying, and look at the passage and say, oh, yes, I see what you mean. You know, there is the verse, and it does say that you've just said to me. So in other words, they're explaining it. They're explaining what's there, rather than explaining something where you look down at the passage and think, I can't see any connection. And yeah, this book is trying to help us be able to do that better. That's right.
It's interesting in a culture where we have access to so many Christian books, so much Christian Bible teaching, and the information age and the digital age gives us a ready, immediate access to a lot of those resources. There's still some sense of a rising biblical illiteracy. Can you address that? Why is it that with all of these tools accessible to us, we still don't know the Bible as well as we should?
Good question. I don't know if I'm in much of a position to address it, really. My guess would be, it's a little bit what I said earlier, but my guess would be that we like to be fed rather than learn how to cook. And so if someone teaches us something and it helps us, or it makes us feel good or challenged or encouraged or whatever it is, if it's having an effect on us, then we're probably keen to run with that rather than the harder work of understanding the Bible for ourselves. But that, in one level, is fine. That's the purpose of the Word of God, is to teach us and encourage us, etc. But there is a danger there within that we, if we aren't able to tell if we're being taught correctly or being fed well, then we're opening ourselves to dangers. Yeah, it'd be worrying that people are illiterate on the Bible, and it suggests that they are only dealing with the gospel and the Bible secondhand. It's all via somebody else. I mean, this year is the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, and some of these things take me back to the issues of the Reformation, where, you know, pre-Reformation, your relationship with God was mediated to you by a priest. It was all via this bloke at the front who had magic powers, if you like, put it crudely, who had powers that you didn't have. And through him, you came to God, and he gave you absolution or gave you communion or whatever it was. He gave you the truth. And there's a danger that we haven't got all the robes and the ceremonies, but what you've just described in some ways is very similar, that we end up having our relationship with God mediated to us by the teacher, by the Bible preacher. Actually, the Bible says we can know God directly for ourselves. And while teachers are there to help us, we are able to understand the Bible for ourselves as well.
Now, this is something that you have been teaching for a while, yeah, long before it became a book and a resource guide for so many others, those tools, giving them to a wider audience. But you've seen this firsthand. You've seen its success. You've seen it help people. Can you share with our listeners just how this actually works to really give people those tools that will help them grow not only deeper in their understanding of the Word, but closer in their walk with Christ?
Yeah, I mean, I could paint a picture of what this might look like. Some churches I know have Bible study, small Bible study groups, home groups, whatever you want to call them, fellowship groups, and they're looking at passages week by week. Often the leader would ask, you know, what do you think about verse 1, or why does verse 5 follow from verse 4, or what does this mean for us today, or what, various questions like that. Leaders who have read this book sometimes introduce the tools into their Bible studies. So they might say, right, today we're going to learn about the repetition tool. If a Bible author keeps repeating a word, they're probably trying to signal something to us. So they say a little bit about the tool and maybe give an example of it. The next week, they would then be able to say to the group, right, here's our passage. Let's put the repetition tool to work. Off you go. And everyone has a go. And that's an example of starting to use the tools for themselves, or making understanding the Bible, how you understand the Bible, more explicit, so that people begin to get it for themselves, rather than, you're a very good Bible study leader. When you lead the Bible study, I really understand the Bible, but I can't understand it by myself. You're starting to share the tools so that people begin to pick them up for themselves.
We've been talking with Nigel Bainin about his book, which I should really call a resource guide that everyone should have. It's called Dig Deeper, Tools for Understanding God's Word. It's been a great privilege to have you on the program with us, Nigel, and to really encourage our listeners, as we do on a regular basis, to go deeper in the Word of God and grow in their walk with Christ.
Thanks for having me very much.
We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace, from Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.